Our guest that we have to be with us this weekend is Pastor Jamie Jones. And I just met him in person, face-to-face, tonight. I saw him from a distance a little over a year ago. Kind of an interesting story. We had a group of men that went to this conference that we thought was a men's conference last spring. And we had a great time. When we got there, we found out it wasn't a men's conference. It was actually for everybody. But we had a great time, and one of the speakers at that conference was Pastor Jamie Jones. And after we heard him preach, a couple of men got together and said, we got to have him come preach for our church. He needs to come preach for us. And so last year, we made all kinds of arrangements for him to come and be with us last fall for a men's conference. We got it all scheduled and lined out and everything, and then Hurricane Irma came through and said, you're not going to have a men's conference. And so we said, well, we're going to have him come back some other time. And when we started talking about these having these special services this July, he was the first one that just jumped to our minds. Let's have Pastor Jamie come. And so it's a great joy to have him here. He pastors Trinity Assembly of God in Deltona. I keep wanting to say Daytona. Deltona. And, of course, we know a lot about Deltona, different Deltona here, because they built this community. But he has pastored a number of churches in the state. He was a youth pastor. I think you're a youth pastor at the church you're pastoring now, right? He's a youth pastor, then went and pastored and came back. And he's written a book. Perhaps you saw the banner in the back, The Left-Handed Warrior. I'm sure he'll tell you all about that. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of that, or two or three or however many, buy gifts. He'll tell you more about that. I've been reading it. I think I'm about halfway through. And very good stuff from the life of one of the judges, Ehud, and he'll talk about that. But anyway, I'd rather have him do a lot more talking than me. So, Pastor Jamie, would you come? And I forgot to mention the guys you got with you. If you want to mention them, you can. So, welcome. Thank you for coming. You can stay up here, go down, and go back and forth, whatever you want to do.
Hey, praise the Lord. How many of you love Jesus tonight? Anybody excited to be here? Come on, I need you to talk to me now. We're just going to have to get that right out of the gates. I need you to talk to me. Anybody excited to be here? Yes. Okay, good, good, good. Well, I'm glad to be here with you. We are from Deltona, Florida. And I hear it thundering out there, a little bit raining out there, a lot of things. But, man, you brave the elements of the storm. You're here tonight. That means you're hungry. Praise God. Come on, you with me? Not just for food, which I know they've got some back there, but spiritual food. Amen. You're ready. Amen. So I'm glad to see you tonight. Glad to see you come out and make a commitment to be here with us tonight. And I'm believing for some incredible things to happen this weekend, man. Tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. How many of you know when God's people come together, God's there? And if God's here, something's got to happen. Touch your neighbor, say, something's got to happen. Just tell them. That's right. Something has got to happen. And so we're coming here. I'm just going to tell you right now. God's not going to move because I'm here. God's going to move because we're here. Amen? We believe that. I love the heart of Pastor Tim, Pastor Jan, and the ministry here. I'm so excited when they called and asked me to come and share. They didn't say, hey, listen, we want you to come and just preach, but, you know, don't get crazy and, you know, just keep it contained, keep it low profile, you know, don't do anything crazy. I'm glad they didn't say that. Amen. But they said, listen, we want a move of God. We're looking for a fresh outpouring. We're looking for an outpouring of God's Spirit. How many of you are hungry for that? Amen. You're ready for God to do something in you and God to do something in your family and God to do something in this church. So that's why we're here. That's why we believe that. And I love the heart of your pastor and his wife, the leadership. I know that you already know this, I'm sure. But I just want to tell you, from an outside person coming in, you've got great leadership in this house. Your pastor and his wife are special, special people. Amen. I know God has put them here. You know, I will be honest with you. I don't know too many pastors that have been in a church longer than, you know, 8 or 10 years. These people have been here. We were just talking a few moments ago. They've been here over 13 years now. And that tells you how much they love you, that they're here, because they have put up with all of you for 13 years. Come on, somebody. That deserves an award. Amen. Praise God. So I just want you to know that from an outsider looking in, these are quality key people. And I know that you love them, and I know that you know that, but I want to just encourage you as a pastor, man, when you love on your pastor and you encourage the man of God and his wife and you just bless them and you pour out in them, man, God pours out in you and pours out in this house. And again, I know that you know that, but man, just glad to be your pastor. Thank you for having us tonight, man. We're so glad to be here. Looking forward to what God has for us. You know, it's an interesting thing. Pastor mentioned this a moment ago. We were at the conference last year, and I began to share from Judges chapter 6, and I was talking about Ehud, who is the judge found in Judges chapter 6. And the Bible says something very interesting about Ehud. It says that he was a left-handed man, and God used him to do some incredible things. Can I come down here and talk to you? Is that all right? So God used him to do something incredible. During the time of history, when Ehud was in leadership, Israel had been in bondage for 18 years by the people of Moab. And so God was looking for somebody to stand up. How many of you are ready to be used by God? Amen. I believe this, that God is looking for somebody in Ocala, Florida. I said, I believe God is looking for somebody in Marion Oaks Assembly of God. He's looking for somebody that will take a stand. God can, listen, you have to understand this. God can use anybody to do anything. You better understand that now. Anybody to do anything. So the Bible says that Ehud was a left-handed man. And I read this story and it just sort of jumped out at me. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you read scripture and it just jumps out at you. It jumped out at me and I started thinking, wait a minute now. What difference does it make that he's left-handed? You know, left-handed, right-handed, ambidextrous, so what? Why does the Bible, how many of the Bible doesn't just, you know, the writers of the Bible don't just say words so they can hear their gums beat together, amen? They're saying that there's a reason for that. He's left-handed, so what? So I started researching that and found out that during that era of history, that left-handed people, in particular left-handed men who were going to be military men, they were considered to be inferior. It was viewed as a handicap. Why? Because the tactical training was all done from the right-handed perspective. So a lefty shows up, and they say, we don't know how to teach you. We don't know how to do this. We don't know how to train you. But yet, in the story of Judges chapter 6, God used this left-handed man, whom the world thought was handicapped, who the world thought had nothing to offer, who the world thought was a nobody. Am I talking to anybody in here tonight? Who the world looked at and said, he's good for nothing. But God chose specifically him to do what nobody else was able to do. And I'm here to tell you tonight, that's the same God that we serve. So I was talking about that at that conference where Pastor was talking about that you guys brought a group of people. And it was the story of the left-handed man. And it was out of that conference that God birthed this in me to expand on that and to write a book about that. When I preached that, I had no plans to write a book. It wasn't even on the radar. But after I preached that, man, God just began to birth this in me. You need to write a book about this and expand this. And so we have those books available back there in the back. I want to just encourage you to, as Pastor said, come back there. We take credit cards. We take food stamps. We take EBT, you know. We barter for precious metals, whatever you've got, we can do it back there. We've got some t-shirts. I've also got a CD teaching series that sort of goes along with that. It is not the book in audio format. It's a teaching series that goes along with that. It's CDs, it's digital audio, all that stuff is back there. And for this weekend, we're sort of running a special. So if you buy three things back there, we'll take $5 off of that. Those guys can help you back there. My son is here. Can y'all look back at my son way back in the back, the redheaded guy? He's the one that's turned around and he's bashful. Joshua, wave at us back there in the back. Wave at us, son. Yep, that's my youngest. Amen. And then my son-in-law, Armando, is right there behind the counter. That's my son-in-law. Amen. He married my baby girl, y'all. You know, I gotta love him to bring him here after he married my baby girl. Amen. So, anyway, I want to talk to you tonight about one word. That word is expectation. See, we're here this weekend, tonight, and throughout the weekend, all the way through Sunday night. But here's the deal. I don't know about you, but I didn't come here just so that we could have some services. Pastor, I know you didn't clear your schedule and everybody came out here in the rain and the lightning and the traffic. I came down I-75. Man, the other, thank God it was the other side, but they were shut down. I mean, as far as you could go on our side, everybody was just looking at that side. And so we were going slow, but we kept going. But what I'm saying, it's inconvenient sometimes to everybody to get together. And I know that you didn't come here just so that we could all pat each other on the back when this was over and said, well, praise God, we went to church. I know that you came here for a bigger purpose than that. You came here for a bigger reason. Is anybody awakened here tonight? You came here for a reason tonight. But here's the deal. We didn't come here just to go through the motions of church and just talk a little bit and have just a little religion. But we came here tonight because we expect God to do something. How many of you know when you worship, you need to expect that God does something? I don't know about you, but I heard our brother up here playing the guitar. How many of you love that brother up here singing, man, playing the guitar, singing, praise God? Man, I tell you, there's an anointing on him. Where is he at? Is that where? Listen, brother, let me just say something. There's an anointing on your life. And I'm just going to tell you, I just see this in the spirit. There's just something in you it's in you. And it's about to break loose. And the Holy Ghost would just say to you, you got to just let that break loose. Because I believe it's like rivers of living water inside of you. There's something inside of you. Don't you suppress it. You need to release it. I'm going to push you this weekend because I'm telling you, you're going somewhere. I believe it. Y'all believe that this weekend? God's going to move him. Amen. What's his name? Nathaniel. How old are you, Nathaniel? How old?
17.
Wow. Man, I'm jealous now. 17. Wow. There's an anointing on you, son. You're going places. I believe that. You're going places, man. There's an anointing on you. So we come together in this house, but we come because we have expectation that God is going to do something. If we leave here tonight and all that we can say is, well, you know, we had some singing and we had a little preaching and you know, we bought a book and we bought a couple of books. Come on, somebody. We bought three or four. Now, if that's all that we can do, then all that we've done really is just wasted our time. But when we come together and we can say, man, we met God. We came into a place where God spoke to us. We came into a place where God shook us and changed us and transformed us. Now something has happened. Listen, when I study the Word and I read in the New Testament, I see a church that is doing something. Praise God. I'm so glad Pastor talked about this a moment ago, but the prayer room in here, people praying. But man, I walked in, I saw people in there praying. I said, man, praise God. That's an exciting thing. I know y'all went out and knocked on doors last week. Pastor's been preparing the soil of this house, preaching about this weekend and just preparing your hearts for a fresh outpouring. And we've come here tonight because we expect for God to do something. And so I want you to key in on this, though, that a lot of what you receive from God is tied to the proportion of your expectation. In other words, if you step into a room, we can bring multiple people into a room, and some people tonight might be blessed, but there'll be other people tonight who aren't blessed. What happened? Wasn't it the same God? It was the same worship, it was the same preaching, it was the same God, it was the same power, it was the same Holy Ghost, it was the same thing. But one person's blessed and one person isn't. What's the difference? One person touched God. And those that expect will receive. What a man sows, that shall he also reap. So when you come into this house, you need to expect the supernatural. And I'm not just talking about this weekend, just because you have a guest speaker. And I'm talking about when you come into God's house, this is a place for the miraculous. This is a place of miracles. This is a place where lives can be changed. This is a place where the anointing can flow. This is a place where bodies can be healed. This is a place where the blinded eyes can be opened. This is a house where marriages can be restored. This is a place where the drug addict can be set free. Am I talking to anybody in this house tonight? Why? Because this is God's house where the supernatural should flow. And anything less than that is not the purpose or the will of God. And so when you come here, regardless of when it is, there needs to be expectation within you every time you worship. I expect God to change me. Every time your pastor gets behind that pulpit and begins to preach, every time Brother Nathaniel gets behind the mic and begins to worship, and all those things that happen, we need to expect the supernatural because we serve a supernatural God. Amen. The word expectation, it simply means this: to look forward to.
to regard as likely to happen, anticipate the occurrence or the coming of. Amen. A lot of you tonight, when you came here, you probably packed an umbrella in your car, right? Probably wish you did right about now. Amen. Why? Because there was a reasonable expectation that it was going to rain. You sort of thought maybe there's a possibility it could rain. There was a reasonable level of expectation. So because of that, you prepared. Well, when you come into God's house, and it's not just about the corporate setting, but whenever you pray at home, God can move in your life. Is anybody with me here now? When you study your word and you're all by yourself at home and there's no preacher and there's no keyboard and there's no worship team, but it's just you and Jesus. But when you open that word, there is an anointing in that word that can change your life. And so when you read that word, you have to know that it's not just black and white and red. That's not what it is. It is a living, all-powerful word of the living God. And when you begin to read that, there needs to be expectation within you that God is building something inside of you. Amen. I want to read to you tonight out of Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 46. And as you turn there, we're going to show it to you on the screen in a moment, but expectation. A couple of years ago, my son, my oldest son, he's now my youth pastor. I just hired him a couple of weeks ago. He's lasted 2 weeks, y'all. That's pretty good. So that. It's pretty good. I hadn't fired him yet. He's made it 2 weeks. Amen. And a couple years ago, he had broke his cell phone. You know, he had an iPhone. He broke his phone. And so he was sort of hinting around. He wanted me and his mama to buy him a new phone, you know, for Christmas. So I said, man, I'm going to get him. So we got ready for Christmas, and my wife had we bought him an iPhone. She put it in a little box. She said, I'm going to put that under the tree. She said, but I think he's going to know. I said, no. You're making this too easy. I said, we got to get him. So I took that box and I put it in another box. Put a bunch of paper around it. I taped it up and I put that in another box. Taped it up. I got obnoxious with it. I had about 6 or 8 boxes. It was a gigantic box, huge, big old box. So the thing that we do at Christmas, we try to give the kids a few presents, you know, each. And but I always save the big present for the end. And remember, he's wanting this iPhone. He's expecting an iPhone. So we come out of the back. We say, okay, guys, here's the big gift. Y'all get ready. We got the big present now. And I come out of the bedroom with a big old gigantic box. And I put it down. And I can see it on his face. He's thinking, this is not an iPhone. I don't know. What is this? So, man, he opens it up, you know, and when he opens that big box, there's another box. And so he opens that box. He gives, there's another box. And he opens up, and it keeps going. It keeps going. And finally, he gets down to the little tiny box. It's wrapped up, but he knows what it is. Now he's got, okay, Dad's got me. Dad was pulling one on me. And you can see that expectation. He was getting excited. He started out, you know, sort of opening slow, but the further he got, the faster he got. And by the end, man, he was going crazy, tearing that box open because that expectation was building in him. And I just want you to know, I have expectation in my heart about what God is going to do tonight in this house. Anybody with me? Touch your neighbor. Just say, you better be expecting. Tell them. Come on, tell them. You better be expecting. I want you to turn with me to the scripture here. Go ahead and put that up for me. Mark chapter 10, beginning in 46. It says this. Actually, do you mind standing with me for the word? Would you honor the word with me? Just stand. Praise God. It said this. Now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, and they said to him, be of good cheer. Rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. And so Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabbi, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said to him, go your way. your faith. Somebody say that word with me. Come on, say it. Faith. What is it that made him well? Come on, you hear that? Sounds a little bit like the word expectation. Come on, you with me now? Come on, watch me. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. I want you to lift up a hand to heaven right now. Father, I thank you for your anointing in this house. Holy Ghost, I ask you to invade this room right now. Father, I know that it's not about me. It's not about my preaching. It's not about anybody in this room except for you. Holy Ghost, we give you access and entrance into this house. Father, I pray tonight that you would put me on like a coat and wear me. I pray mighty anointing to fall in this house. God, change us tonight. We are expecting a fresh outpouring of your Spirit. God, today reveal your word to your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Praise God. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm going to preach fast. You got to listen fast, okay? Satan has declared war on the seed of your expectation. I want you to think about this for a moment. When Bartimaeus was healed, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. In other words, your expectation and your belief system tied to me has brought into your life that which you did not have. Expectation will bring into your life that which you cannot get any other way. Come on, are you with me now? When you expect, it's faith, it's power, it's fresh water, praise God. Amen, that's good water. But Satan has declared war on the seed of your expectation. Watch this now. You dialed all the way back in Scripture to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. Let me just tell you. It says this, and this is what God said to Satan. This is after Adam and Eve messed up and they ate of the forbidden fruit, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now God, speaking to Satan himself, God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He, talking about Jesus, the seed of the woman, he will bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. I just want you to understand something tonight. The enemy wants to attack the seed of your faith that is within you before it ever germinates. Why? Because if you ever realize who you are, if you ever realize who you are, the devil knows he can't stop you. So what he does is he tries to kill the seed before it ever germinates. We see this all the way back in Genesis where there's going to be a conflict between the enemy and the seed of the woman. This is not the end of the story. This continues all through Scripture. It continues today. It is not an accident that during the time of Moses, when Moses was born as a little baby, don't you know that God caused him to be birthed for the purpose of redemption? He was birthed to be the leader of Israel to break them out of captivity and slavery and bondage. That's why he was birthed. And it's not a coincidence that at the very time that Moses was born, that Pharaoh issued a decree over all the Hebrews that said, any baby boys that are born, you need to throw them in the river. Why? Because the enemy was coming after the seed. Come on, I want you to get this now. He's coming after the seed because he knew that if that baby ever grew up, he knew that if that baby ever became a man, that surely Israel would be set free and redeemed. But don't you think it's funny that the very thing that was destined to kill Moses, the river, was the very thing that God used to bring him right into Pharaoh's courts. It brought him right in to the throne room of Pharaoh, where the little baby who was supposed to be dead, the little castaway, come on somebody, that little baby that was supposed to die, now learns the protocol, now learns the language of the kingdom of Egypt. And were it not for that, he never would have been used by God. But I'm trying to get this into your spirit right now. The enemy wants to tear up and destroy the seed of faith that is within you, because if he can kill your seed, you will never germinate into the place of faith. It's not by accident that some of the greatest people that we read about in Scripture came from barren women. Samson's mother was barren. Why? Because the enemy knew that when this woman gave birth, she would give birth to a mighty warrior of God. Samuel's mother was barren. Why? Because Satan knew if this woman ever gave birth, that this young boy would grow up to be the greatest prophet Israel had ever known. John the Baptist's mother, I'm trying to help you. John the Baptist's mother was barren. Why? Because Satan knew that if this woman ever had a baby, that this baby would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He knew that. And so his attack method was to destroy the seed. You see, the enemy wants to destroy the seed of faith that is within you. He wants to kill something in you before it ever has a chance to get started. You come to church, how many of you know, if you husbands and wife, if you're ever going to get in a fight, it's going to be on the way to church. Oh, come on. Somebody don't want to say that because you already got in a fight tonight. Amen. No, not me. Huh? Right? Because the enemy wants to kill the seed before that seed ever germinates in your life. And you have to recognize that the enemy has declared war on the seed of your expectation. And so now I see this blind man by the name of Bartimaeus. We read this story. And so what's happening is, before Bartimaeus ever receives his healing, the enemy is trying to kill the seed of expectation and faith that is within him. Watch this now. The intensity of your expectation will cause heaven to stand still. I don't know if y'all are hearing me tonight. The intensity of your expectation will cause heaven to stand still. The Bible says something very interesting, and when we read this, in fact, this story is told in three different gospel accounts. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell this gospel account. And this specific phrase that I'm about to tell you in just a moment is never used just like this anywhere else in Scripture, but it's used all three accounts about the story of Bartimaeus. And it's simply this, that when Bartimaeus began to call out to Jesus, that Jesus, the Bible says, and Jesus, verse 49, stood still. Come on, are you with me? So here's Jesus. You got to put this in context. We try to get all religious. No, listen. Let's just be real. Jesus has got a bunch of people around him. His disciples are around him. Everybody's grabbing. Everybody wants something. Everybody's want. You know, how many, you know, when you got something, everybody wants it. Amen. You got any money, everybody wants it. Yeah. Praise God. Everybody wants what Jesus has. Jesus is walking down the road, and everybody's trying to get something. Everybody, can you do this? Can you do that? Teach me this. Help me that. Can you put me in your kingdom? I want to sit on the right. I want to sit on the left. I mean, everybody's wanting something. And Jesus just keeps on. Why? Because he's a man of mission. He's going somewhere. He's doing something. And Jesus is walking. But the cries of a blind man, all of a sudden. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, with all the stuff coming at him, everybody wants something. Everybody was trying to get something. Everybody, Jesus, look, all of a sudden, boom, stood still. That phrase in the Greek language, it actually is what the word we would use to freeze. You ever played freeze tag as a kid? You know, you touch somebody, they got to freeze, right? You can't move. You got to freeze, right? That's what Jesus, he froze. He stopped. So you have to understand something. When you call upon when you call upon the name of Jesus, you can cause heaven to stand still. I believe this tonight, when we were worshiping, Nathaniel, you got to understand the power that's in you, that anointing that's within you. Because when you're standing up here and you're worshiping God and you're talking about the Son of God, you're talking about the blood of Jesus, you're talking about the power of God, you're talking about the majesty of God, as you begin to worship, I will promise you right now, God's up in heaven and quieting all the angels. And no, listen. My people are worshiping. Let me just hear him a little bit. See, when you begin to call upon the name of Jesus, the intensity of your expectation, it will literally cause heaven to stand still. Nobody could stop Jesus, but a blind man on the side of the road had the opportunity and the ability to stop Jesus. Why? Was it because he was blind? No. Was it because he was a beggar? No. Was it because he was famous? No. Was it because Jesus had a relationship with him? No. It was the expectation in the heart of the blind man that pulled that anointing right out of Jesus. I want you to hear this now. The expectation and the faith that is within you places a draw on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. What I'm trying to get into your spirit tonight is when you begin to magnify the name of the Lord and you begin to call upon the name of Jesus and you begin to exercise the faith that is within you, you begin to pull the power of heaven down into the earth. I want you to hear me tonight. Your expectancy and your faith moves the hand of God. Powerful story in the book of John. Story of Lazarus. You all know the story. Lazarus raised from the dead. Jesus walks to the tomb. You remember the story. Jesus gets to the mouth of the tomb. Jesus knew what he was going to do. Remember the sisters are arguing with him. He said, listen, he's going to live again. He's going to rise again. One of the sisters said, yeah, but you know, we know in the end, but we're talking about now. Well, you know, he's dead now. Jesus just kept walking. In fact, the Bible says he was grieved. Jesus wept because of the lack of faith. Jesus goes to the mouth of that cave. He says, hey, roll the stone away. Somebody said, Master, listen, he's been dead for, like, you know, hello. He's still not getting it. Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. He stinks by now. You know, in other words, get it. This cannot be done. Jesus said, come on now, how many know your mama says that? I said, roll the stone away. Jesus says something really powerful right there. When this whole discourse is taking place, he begins to pray to God. He speaks out loud. This is a paraphrase, but basically what he's saying is, Lord, we've already talked about this. We've already settled this. I already know that Lazarus is about to get up and walk out of that tomb. I already know that. But for the benefit of those that are standing around, I've already prayed about this, and he says this. He says, because I know you always hear me. You always hear me when I pray. Lazarus, come forth. All of a sudden, Lazarus comes right out of that tomb, bound head to toe with grave clothes all over him. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. In the same way that Jesus spoke that word. And Jesus said, God, you always, Father, you always, Lord, you always hear me when I pray. Can I just tell you something tonight? That God always hears you when you pray. Not sometimes, not once in a while, not just when you're doing things right, not just when you paid your tithe, come on somebody, not just when you're in your Sunday suit, not just when you hadn't said anything bad or gossiped about anybody, not just when you've been in church 4 times in a row, come on somebody, pat yourself on the back. No. He always hears you when you pray. The psalmist said it this way. He said, Lord, I know that your ear is always attentive to the cry of the hearts of your people. I want you to know something tonight. When you begin to call upon the name of the Lord, heaven stands still. The expectation that is within you will draw that power into your life. You can be on your car driving up I-75. Come on, somebody. And just begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And the Spirit of God will descend into your car and change your circumstance and change your situation. You can be in your house and everything's breaking loose and all hell's coming against you. But in the middle of that chaos, in the middle of that storm, you begin to call upon the name of Jesus. He always... Touch your neighbor and say, He always hears you when you pray. So blind Bartimaeus, he calls out to the Lord, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Man, I love this. Bartimaeus heard a couple of different things. In fact, the Bible says he heard that Jesus was near. So in one ear, he hears that the Master is near. As he begins to call out, the Bible says the people that were around him, they begin to warn him and told him, be quiet. In one ear, he hears the Lord. In the other ear, he hears all of those that were standing against him. I'm going to tell you something right now, and you better understand this. If you're ever going to really do anything for God, and you're really going to make it in this thing called Christianity, we're going to get past just going to church and sitting in a chair and having fun. I didn't come here to make you like me. I came here to preach the truth, okay? And I'm just telling you, that's how it is. If you're ever going to get to that place where God really begins to push you and God really begins to move you, you are going to have to decide what voice you're going to listen to. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit is always speaking to His people. The power of God is always ministering to His people. The Lord is always talking to His people. But there will always be a voice of opposition that is against you. Why? Because the enemy is trying to destroy the seed of faith that is within you. And sometimes you've got to turn a deaf ear to those things that are anti-God, those things that are opposing God, those things that are not for you. There's some people in your life that are not helping you, they are hindering you, and there's some people that you need to cut off. I'm going to leave it there. Because there's some people that have no interest in moving you forward. In fact, some people are jealous of the fact that you're going somewhere, and instead of them really getting motivated and doing what they're supposed to do, it makes them feel better to make you look bad. Come on, is anybody with me? There are some people that you can't listen to. There are some people that you need to turn a deaf ear to. There are some things you need to stop listening to and paying attention. There is power in the Word of God. There's power in the name of Jesus. God's Word will not return void. And so, now, Bartimaeus does something very interesting. As he's calling out to Jesus, the people are warning him, stop it. Now, there was a reason for this. It wasn't just that they were annoyed. But they were under Roman rule. And there was a thing called unlawful assembly. That's the same reason why Jesus in the triumphal entry, remember when Jesus was coming in, the Jewish leaders, they were coming in the gates of Jerusalem. The people came and they warned him. They said, hey, you better tell these people to stop. And Jesus said, hey, if I tell them to stop, the very rocks will cry out because this has been prophesied from the very beginning. What they were referring to was unlawful assembly. The Romans would not allow the Jews to gather without permission. So Bartimaeus is crying out. He's screaming out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Jesus, and he's trying to catch him before he goes. Remember, he can't see. He doesn't know exactly where he's at, but he's got to be heard before. I hope I don't fall off this thing. He's got to be heard before he gets past him. And so everybody, no, Bartimaeus, no, you got to be quiet. You got to be quiet. Remember, there's two voices. One, I hear Jesus. In other words, Bartimaeus began to think, I've heard this man has healed people. Why not me? I've heard that he's called lame people to get up and walk. I've heard that he's called deaf ears to open. I've heard that he's called the blinded eyes to see. Why not me? I want to just ask you a question. Why not you? He's got these conflicting voices in his ear. I hear Jesus, the miracle worker. I hear him. I know he's there. He's there somewhere. I can hear him, the crowd, the thronging of the crowd. I know what he's able to do. I've heard the stories about Jesus. He's there. He's there somewhere. And he begins to cry out. He begins to call out. But the people around him, they're saying, no, be quiet, be quiet. We don't want to get in trouble. We don't want the Romans to come out here. You're going to get arrested. Be quiet. But Bartimaeus does something very interesting. The Bible says he called out even louder. Don't ever let the enemy stifle what God is putting in you. Don't you ever stop praying. Don't you ever stop believing. Don't you ever stop worshiping. Don't ever get so discouraged. You allow the enemy to kill the seed that's within you because God's birthed something in you. He's put something in you. Man, when I go to the hospital and I pray for people, there'll be people, I pray, this just happened a couple months ago, Pastor. I went to the hospital. There was a man there. They had about to pull him off life support. He was done. I looked at the wife. I said, you want me to pray? She said, yes. I said, what are we praying for? She said, well, I believe God can do anything. I said, that's what we're praying for. Amen. I'm not praying for somebody to die. Come on. Where it says Jesus came, I came to bring life and life more abundantly. Come on, somebody. I mean, if I'm ever in the hospital and you want to pray for somebody, don't you come praying for me to die. I'm just telling you, I want to live. Amen. Just begin to pray for that brother. I just began to call forth life. I said, Lord, we call forth life. I know the doctor's about to unplug him in 10 minutes, but I'm calling forth life in the name of Jesus. We believe him. We're believing. I had some of my guys that were there. We put hands, laid hands on him, put oil on him. We had him all greased up, man. I mean, we were praying. Lord, we call forth life in the name of Jesus. Had nurses walking by thinking everybody was crazy. We just called forth life. You know something? That man's out of the hospital right now. I'm not kidding you. He's out of the hospital right now. It's amazing. See, everything, the way we think, is everything happened somewhere else. Well, God's raising the dead over in some of those little countries in Africa. Well, is it the same God in those little countries in Africa as it is in Ocala, Florida? Come on, somebody, are you? I'm just trying to challenge. I'm here to push you. That's why I'm here. Because we say we want a fresh outpouring. We want a fresh move of God. If you want a fresh outpouring, if you want a fresh move of God, there has to be a level of expectation in you that exceeds where you've been before. If you believe tonight the same way that you did last night, you're going to get tonight the same thing that you got last night. Y'all was kicked back watching TV last night. Come on, somebody. But in God's house, you've got to press yourself and push yourself into a level of expectation and understanding of who God is and what God can do in you. And so Jesus is walking by and he literally stops what he's doing and he stands still. Your faith will arrest the attention of God. Listen now, our identity should not be found in Christ, or should be found in Christ and not in our weakness. I love how this story, when anytime you read the name Bartimaeus, there is a word attached to it. He's not Bartimaeus, he's blind Bartimaeus. Even the writer of the gospel, all three accounts, when they refer to him, they call him either blind Bartimaeus or the blind man. His identity had gotten locked in to his condition. But Jesus came to set the captive free. Is somebody with me? Jesus came so that he would not have to be blind Bartimaeus. He was going to be a son of God. Come on, is somebody in this house? I want you to understand that tonight. That what God is doing inside of you and what God is working in you does not seek the permission of the label that has been placed on you. Some of you have an identity that's been placed on you. I'm the divorce guy. I'm the widow. I'm the widower. I'm the one that has cancer. I'm the one that is declaring bankruptcy. I'm the guy that's about to lose my business. I'm the one that's sick. No, 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 no. You are a child of the King. Your identity is not in your problem. Your identity is in your Father. Come on. His name is Jesus. You can't get yourself locked into the condition of your life because that is the tactic that the enemy uses to kill the seed that's within you. He kills it. Bartimaeus did something very interesting. Can I borrow this right here real quick? So, Bartimaeus, the Bible says something interesting. It says, when Jesus called the blind man, right? When Jesus called the blind man, he stood up and he cast aside his garment. So what? What difference does it make? He could run faster without the garment, right? No, there was more to it. What we understand from history in that era of time is that the Roman government would not allow people to beg unless they were permitted to do so. In other words, they had to go and prove themselves or show themselves to the magistrate of the city and explain to them why they should be begging. They had to prove themselves that something was wrong with them. And upon a satisfactory completion of that case, the magistrate would then issue them a garment. And that garment was representative of the condition that they had of being handicapped. And so when Bartimaeus was wearing the garment, his outer garment, it was a permit from the province, from the Romans. It was a permit that said, this guy really is blind. He really is deserving of money. And so when he sits by the side of the road and you see him, we've already vetted him. We've already checked it out. We know that he truly is blind. He is worthy of your alms. Everybody with me? So now the Bible says that Lazarus, he's calling out to Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's calling out to Jesus, and Jesus commanded him and said, come. Bartimaeus stood up and took his garment off and cast it, to the wayside. He cast it to the side. Why? He didn't need it anymore. There was an expectation within him that said, if I can just get a hold of Jesus, if I can just get a hold of a healer, if I can just get his attention, if he'll just give me the time of day, if I can just get a moment with the King, if I can just sit at the feet of the King, come on somebody, if I can just get there beside him, I'm not going back to who I used to be. I'm not going back to what I used to be. I'm going to be changed, set free, healed, and delivered. I'm not going back. I'm taking this cloak off, this garment off. I don't need it anymore. I don't care who takes it. I'm going after Jesus now. You've got to understand something. Your expectation will cause you to break up with your past. I'm not going back. You know, I used to sit in church and, you know, listen to this music and listen to the preaching and walk away and say, well, that was good. But man, something shifted in me and I began to realize there's got to be more to this thing than just going through the month. You know what I'm saying, Pastor? There's got to be more. I mean, anybody, if we can, you know, we could go down to a ball game and cheer and shout. We could go down to the high school band and listen to music. We can turn on the television and listen to anybody talk. But there's got to be something in the house of God that's different than anything that you'll find anywhere else. And something began to shift in me, and I said, wait a minute, no, I can't do this anymore. I called the ministry. I said, when I go to the ministry, I'm going straight in, man. I'm kicking the gates of hell down. I'm not playing games. I'm not interested in a prim little proper preaching and dignified. Come on, some people can do that. I can't do it. I'm not interested in that because I understand something, that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. That means this, that you've got to press in. You've got to push forward. You got to move out. You got to begin to believe. Somebody needs to call upon the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to call upon the name of the Lord. Somebody needs to stand in faith and know that when you pray that He hears you. Somebody needs to call upon the name of Jesus and know that when I get a hold of Him, I'll never turn back and I'll never be the same, because I've gotten in the presence of the Almighty and I'm changed now forever. That's who I am. Give me my next slide, Armando. I want you to see this now. Your expectation will give birth to your testimony. You hear me? I'm gonna land this plane, Pastor. I've been preaching too long. I got a couple more days. Your expectation will give birth to your testimony. What you expect is what you're going to get. What your man sows. Listen, if I take a seed from a bean and I put it into the ground, I'm placing that seed in the ground with expectation that it is going to bring forth something. It is going to bring forth what I put in. If I planted a bean, what's going to come out of the ground? Right. Well, a plant that has beans. You following me? Corn's not going to come up. An apple tree is not going to come up. Why? Because that's not what I put in the ground. When you sow your faith in the ground, when you begin to say, I believe, God, I'm believing in you, when you begin to expect those things, you will bring out that which you put in. Some of you need to start praying harder. Some of you need to start worshiping harder. Some of you need to start believing bigger. Come on, I'm just trying to push it. That's why I'm here. Some of you need to start studying more. Some of you need to start believing more. Some of you need to start gossiping less. Because there's a seed in you that God's trying to bring out. There is something in you. It is the deposit of the Holy Spirit that God has put in you. And God's trying to bring that out and bring life and bring fruit and bring abundance out of you, but many times we allow that to be killed by the enemy. 2 years ago, I was down in the nation of Honduras. We have churches that we work with down there. The pastor that we work with said, hey, I got a phone call last night, and there's a man who has terminal cancer. Families asked that we go and pray for him. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Honduras is a very poor nation, poverty-stricken nation. And we drive up in these people's home. They were desperate. You know, man, it just broke my heart. They were so desperate. They needed something to happen. And I walked into this house, and the whole house was probably less than 400 square feet, a tiny little house. I walked in the front door, and I remember seeing the wife of the man who was sick and the daughter of the man who was sick. And both of them, their faces were just, you could tell they'd been crying, and they knew that it was the end. He was about to die. A little bit of conversation, I have a translator that was there. We began to talk to him or to them and said, tell us what's going on. Said he was diagnosed with cancer. It's been over a year ago now. They opened him up at one point and cancer had just riddled his whole body. They said, there's nothing we can do. They sewed him up and they sent him home. They said, look, we'll give him pain meds, but there's nothing we can do. Third world country. So we walked into the room. There's a curtain that separated the front, what we would call a living room. It's just one box, but what we would call a living area. A little curtain was just hung from the ceiling. It was actually a bed sheet hanging from the ceiling. I opened that bed sheet and I turned and I looked in the bed. There laid a man. Man was only in his early 50s, but he looked to be probably in his late 70s, early 80s, because the disease had attacked his body. He was literally, when you've heard this, the phrase a bag of bones, this is what he was. He was gone. His eyes were sunk into his head, had big dark circles under his eyes, and just looked like death. I mean, I literally was concerned that he would die while we were standing there. That's how bad it was. You see, Jesus does something very interesting when Bartimaeus comes to him. And I want you to hear this now. When Bartimaeus comes to Jesus asks him the most obvious question in the world. He said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And wasn't it obvious? He was wearing a beggar's cloak. He had thrown it off to the side. I don't know how he got there, but he couldn't see. And he gets to Jesus. And Jesus has the audacity to ask him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus, out of his own mouth, received his healing. Remember, when we read this a few moments ago, Jesus said what? "Your faith has made you well." How did he know Bartimaeus' faith? Yes, he got up. Yes, he threw the garment to the side. But when Jesus said, "What can I do for you?" What is he really asking? What do you have enough faith to believe for? "Teacher, that I may receive my sight." Immediately. Read it. Immediately. The immediately didn't happen when he stood up. The immediately didn't happen when he ran over. The immediately didn't happen when he threw his garment to the side. The immediately happened when he said out of his mouth, "That I may receive my sight." Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God. Can I just help you understand this? The spirit that is within you, your spirit, has ears. Some of you, by the things that you're saying, "I feel sick, I feel terrible, this, that, and the other." And I'm not saying that we live in this fantasy world and we don't say what's wrong. I'm not insinuating that. But what I'm saying is, a lot of times we block our own opportunity because we won't speak what God's Word says. We're listening to the wrong voice. The enemy's trying to kill the seed. Come on, are you with me now? Walked into that room. As I'm standing there looking at this man, I will be honest. I'm just going to be complete. Can I just lay all the cards on the table? Forgive that expression, but I just want to be honest with you. I felt, Pastor, I just felt so inferior. I felt that they had put faith in the American. You know, the American pastor is here. Surely he can do something. I walked into that room, and I'll be honest with you, I did not know if he would live through the prayer. That's how imminent death was. You could smell. You ever been around somebody dying and you could smell death? You could smell death. You could smell it. Breathing was shallow. I looked across the bed, and I asked the mom, his wife, and then I asked the daughter. I said, "How do you want me to pray?" I thought of this story right here, where Jesus, the obvious, what do you want me to do for you? "Teacher, I want to receive my sight." "Ma'am, how do you want me to pray? What do you want me to believe God for right now?" She said, "I believe that he can live again." I said, "That's all I need. I'm not going to pray for somebody to die." Put my hands on him. Honduras pastor that was with me put his hand on him. My translator put his hand on him. And I said, "I want you to translate and you say what I say." We begin to pray. I said, "Father, right now, I call forth life out of what looks like a corpse. I plead the blood of Jesus over this body. And today, we call forth healing in his body in Jesus' name." Now, I would love to tell you that he jumped up out of the bed, began to run around the room praising God. That'd be a great story, and I'd love to tell that story, but that's not what happened. When I walked out of that room, he looked just as dead as he did when I walked into that room. Hugged the wife, we hugged the daughter, crying, walked out the door. Me and Pastor got in the truck. It was such a somber moment. We didn't even talk to each other for about 10 minutes. It's one of those moments where there's nothing to say. You know, it was that, flew back home and had preached, you know, in Honduras a number of times, but got back home. About 3 weeks later, Pastor called me. He said, "Hey, I gotta tell you something." He said, "You remember that guy that we prayed for?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "The one with cancer, you know, the guy that was about to die." I said, "Oh yeah, Pastor, I know who you're talking about." He said, "I was just at his house today." He said, "We were in the living room, and he was sitting in a chair, and he was eating cookies and drinking coffee with me today." It's about 2 years ago. I said, "Man, praise God." We didn't have any doctor's reports. You know, this is Honduras. This is out in the middle of nowhere, Honduras. I was just there last week. 2 years ago this happened. I was there last week. Just got back. I flew in Sunday morning from Honduras. I asked Pastor, I said, "Hey, what's going on with this guy that we prayed for? Remember the guy with cancer?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Can, you know, what's going on?" He goes, "Man, he's doing great." I said, "Can we go see him?" So we went to go by the house. Guess what? He wasn't there. I thought he was dead. You know where he was? You ready for this? He was out in the fields picking coffee in the sun at noon. The devil is a liar. Come on, somebody. There's power in the words that you speak. There's power in your declaration. There's power in your expectation. You see, I saw the flyers that you made. I saw your website. I saw what you put out that said Fresh Outpouring. I saw the graphic on the screen about Fresh Outpouring. But you know what? That's not just because, you know, well, we need to think of something to say so it sounds good. I believe that heaven wants to visit this house with a fresh outpouring. Come on, are you with me? Come on, are you with me? I want you to stand up with me here tonight in this house. And listen, I want to just push you for a moment. I don't know how you normally do things. And Pastor, if this is allowed, I just have to tell you, it really doesn't matter how you normally do things, because we're just going to do things a little different, okay? Paul said it like this. He said, "We walk by faith, not by sight." There's two voices in your ear at all times. It's the voice of faith. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the Word of God. It's the Spirit of Christ in you. There's a voice of the enemy that's trying to kill your seed pre-germination because he doesn't want you to know who you are. But when you openly declare the Word of God, how many times when Jesus healed someone did he ask them, "What can I do for you?" Or he would ask them, "What do you have faith to believe for?" How many times did Jesus say, "Your faith has made you well"? Out of your own mouth, you have received healing. Because there's something that's generated in the realm of faith when you begin to openly speak and declare what you expect for God to do. And what happens a lot of times is we get scared to vocalize or verbalize what's in us because we feel like it's too big, or it's too hard, or it's too difficult, or we don't have enough faith, or we're not holy enough, or we're not worthy enough. Let me tell you something. Let me just put all that to rest, because not one of us in here are worthy enough, but the Spirit of Christ within us is. So I can and you can declare every one of the promises in the Word of God. Believe for them, declare them, expect them, vocalize, verbalize every single one of them, because the same Jesus that's in you is the same Jesus that's in your neighbor, and the same Jesus that's in me, the same God that's in Honduras, the same God that's in the little countries in Africa, the same God that's in the Reinhardt Bonnke rallies. Come on, is anybody with me? It's the same God. And what ties us to Him is the faith and the expectation that we have to know that God can do the impossible. How many of you will believe God for the impossible tonight? Come on, let me see your hand. You will believe God for the impossible tonight. Your hand is raised. I'm going to push you right now. I want you to do something. I want everybody that can, if you can, I want you to get out of your seat. Just come right up here in the front. I want 100%. If we can do 100%, I want 100%. The camera people, the sound people, everybody, come on. If you can do it, come on. I just want you to come. Just come right here. We're going to press Him just for a moment here tonight. Hallelujah. Paul, speaking about God, he said that God speaks things that are not as though they are. Do you understand that when God created the heavens and the earth, He spoke to darkness. And God said, let there be light. Out of His mouth light was formed. And God said, let there be a separation between the heavens and the earth. And when God said that, when He spoke it, it happened. God said, let there be a separation from the waters and the land. Let there be a separation from that. And when God said it, the waters of the ocean, the depths of the sea, obeyed Him. Why? Because even nature itself has no choice but to respond to the Word of God. Right now, in your situation, wherever you're at, your physical body, your finances, your marriage, your relationships, your home, the issues of your life have no choice but to respond to the Word of God. It is all powerful. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't see what I see. I get it. But He does. And what you see and what He sees are two different things. And your expectation will take you past the ceiling of what you see so that you can break through. And you can see what He sees. Come on, I want you to lift up both hands to heaven right now. Come on. Come on, lift them up. Come on, lift them up. Lift them up. I want someone else how to pray. I want somebody to begin to call out upon the name of the Lord. Come on, let me just hear you pray. Come on. Come on, somebody just begin to pray. Hey, kadabashata de 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 basata. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, for a fresh anointing of fire. I thank You for a fresh ministry, Lord, of Your Spirit. I thank You, God, right now, for that fresh outpouring that we have prayed for, that we have believed for, that Pastor has been preaching about, that people have been praying about, that people have been going and believing for. God, we want a fresh outpouring. God, we know that this is not a waste of time. This is not just a Friday night that we could have spent doing something else for no reason. But God, we're here in the presence of the Almighty. God, we are here believing for the impossible. God, we are here tonight knowing that You are more than able. I thank You tonight, God, that You're moving us to believe bigger, to dream bigger, to know bigger, to understand bigger, to press farther. Come on, somebody pray. Come on, somebody. Hey, kata ba shata de 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 ba sata. Jesus. 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 Oh God, do it tonight. Do it tonight, Lord. Do it tonight, God. Do it tonight, mighty God. Do it tonight, God. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Tonight, I want us to tap into the realm of faith. To have the boldness to believe like we've never believed before. I'm going to do something in a minute that's going to be weird. It's going to mess you up. Here's what I want you to do. In just a moment, I'm going to count to three. Okay? When I get to the number three, I want you out loud. We're Pentecostal, right? That means we're loud and obnoxious. We just are. You got to deal with it. That's who we are. When I get to the number three, I want you to, with your mouth, I want you to call out what you believe God for. You hear me? Because I believe that heaven stands still when God's people call upon the name of the Lord. And I believe just like Jesus asked Bartimaeus, and just like Jesus when He stood before the tomb of Lazarus, I believe that Jesus tonight is saying, what do you want Me to do for you? And I want you to have the boldness to say what it is that you need God to do for you. And I want you to have the boldness to say it loud enough that you can hear it in your ear. Because it will move what has been internalized. See, listen. The enemy wants to kill the seed. The internalization of faith. That which I kind of believe it. I've been raised in it. I've read about it. I've heard about it. But I haven't really acted on it. He wants to suppress it before it ever comes out. That's how he kills the seed pre-germination. But there's something that happens when you speak it. There's something that happens when you declare it. Faith comes from hearing, hearing from the Word of God. And sometimes the Word of God that you hear is a word that comes out of your mouth. Because when you begin to declare healing over your life, you are declaring what God has already spoken, because He is the healer. He is the provider. Come on, is anybody with me? He is. So when you declare it, you are simply agreeing with Him. There's power in that, friends. So when I get to three, I want you just to shout out. I need healing. My marriage restored. I need finances. Whatever it is, I want you to say it, and I want you to say it like you mean it. You need to hear yourself say it. You say, this guy is crazy. I may be, but I'm telling you right now, I believe some of you are going to break through into another dimension of faith when you begin to speak that and declare that. Because for the first time, you've got enough guts to really say it. And somebody might actually hear you say it. You with me? Come on, you with me? Come on, lift up a hand right now. Come on, lift up a hand to the Lord. Here we go. When I get to three, I want you just to call it out. When you get to three, I want you just to say it. Whatever it is, whatever you believe in God for, whatever you need, I want you to say it. And if it's healing, if it's finances, if it's deliverance, I don't know what it is. I don't know what's going on, but I want you just to speak it. I want you to say it. Here we go. When I get to three, say it. I want you to say it like you mean it. I want you to declare it like you mean it. Don't be soft. Don't be timid. Don't be shy. I want you to say it. I want you to say it like you believe it. I want you to speak it like you know somebody's listening. Because heaven, I believe, is going to stand still when you say this today. Here we go. Get ready. Get ready. One, two, get ready to say it. Three, go.